Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Lino, 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 gol, 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 Lino, gol para el Valencia.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's our match day 30 recap. I'm your host Matt Clark, delighted to be joined by Paco Pollet. Paco, Valencia have finally won a game. How does it feel?
I don't have the word, you know. I had already forgotten the feeling of Valencia winning a game, especially a game on the road. I believe it's been quite a few months from that. I think it was before the World Cup, possibly, back in November, the last win by Valencia. So, yeah, pretty amazing, you know, especially for the 5,000 fans, which, you know, traveled over to Martinez Valero, which is Elche's around 2 hours south of Valencia, if you travel by car. And I think it was, you know, amazing the way the support was massive throughout the morning, and yeah, everything was perfect for Valencia because they did win, and most of the rest of the you know the relegation contenders tripped throughout the weekend, even though Sevilla were able to win their game and others. But you know, the fight is on, and this win is huge and massive for Valencia, which had a match point and they were able to save it.
Yeah, it felt like a must win, and the amount of fans travelling, the support they gave, it felt like a home game in some senses before the match. The footage we saw of the buses arriving, and yeah, a massive win on the road. Elche, as we know, just a case of when they're going to go down. That's yeah. 5 defeats on the spin for them.
You definitely, you understand why they are that, effed up, you know. That because everything, in Elche's case, everything they do turns on the negative side as soon as they, you know, stop paying attention. Because they scored an own goal. Valencia's opener was, you know, the ABC of football. You know, long ball by the keeper, the number 9 touching the ball with his head, and you know, the number 10, or in this case Samu Lino, scoring the second chance, is possibly the easiest and the oldest play in the playbook. And Elche conceded that. So you understand, you definitely understand how they have lost so many games and how they are in such a bleak spot.
Indeed. Well, we'll talk more about Valencia's hopes for survival later in the show, because we'll talk about the relegation candidates there. But in part one, I want to focus on the European battle, because it was a really exciting weekend. We've just seen Sevilla win in the last minute against Villarreal. So let's go straight there. What an impact Mendy Libar's had. We saw the miraculous game against Manchester United on Thursday. And this was not quite the same, but by the final whistle, it was almost as loud. An incredible win. They scored early. Villarreal hit back in the second half, but then En-Nesyri in the 94th minute, was it? With a header to put the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan on their feet. What a job Mendy Libar's done. They're 8 points clear of the drop zone. They're only 3 points off. 8th now. What a job he's done, Paco.
Yeah, I think that the textbook example of the two words immediate impact can be attributed to Mendy Libar, because ultimately, since he was brought in. I think it's 10 out of 12, you know, 3 wins, 1 draw in the last 4 games for Sevilla. As you said, now there are, things are looking much better, much brighter for them in the fight to avoid the drop. And with 38 points, I think they are only, you know, one win away from earning their salvation. So in that sense, job done. And if you, you know, you consider the fact that Manchester United seemed an impossible task only 3 weeks ago, and suddenly they were able to knock them out of the UEFA Europa League. They are facing Juventus in a few days. And that's obviously at this point 100% their main goal. So in that sense, the Europa League has become the priority, but in some sense it's the icing on the cake, because Mendilibar was brought in because of the situation that Sevilla were facing in La Liga, and they have done so in spectacular fashion. The game against Villarreal, I think it was a game with several different stages, Sevilla dominating at the beginning, scoring the first by Rafa Mir. Later, Villarreal looked much better. They had more rest, you know, in their physiques, and their stamina was a bit better than Sevilla's, because they had the effort of what they did last Thursday against Manchester United. But, you know, in the second half, the chances were similar to a coin toss. Actually, if you see the stats of the game, it was very, very leveled. So ultimately, a set piece was the crucial play of the game, with Rakitic, who is, you know, he might be 50 at some point, and he will still be crucial for Sevilla, because only maybe because of the way he takes the set pieces. And that's, you know, a big advantage for any team in this sort of context in La Liga, having this sort of specialist being able to, you know, take the set piece and send the ball straight into Enesiris's head to head home. I think it's a big, big advantage. So overall, I think Mendilibar has earned the chance to coach Sevilla next season. And who knows, he might do so with an European Championship under his belt.
Just imagine. Incredible. And like we said, his job was to keep them up. And that lineup that he put out at Old Trafford, we were all thinking that's very strange. Yeah. When they were 2 down in, 15 minutes, we thought this is going to go very wrong. But from then on, incredible turnaround to win 5-2 on aggregate. And yeah, a glorious night at the Sanchez one. Surely they're safe now. Their Seville City opponents, Betis, they kicked off the weekend pretty much heading to Pamplona, facing a side who knocked them out of the Copa del Rey, remember, of course. And they themselves found themselves 2-0 down very early on against Osasuna. And a dramatic game on Saturday lunchtime. Ante Budimir twice putting Osasuna 2-0 up. Betis got back in it. Then Osasuna went 3-1 up before the break. But then Betis fought back to 3-2. And you thought they might be able to bring it all the way back, but not to be. But yeah, Paco, a missed opportunity for Betis and another great result for Osasuna.
Yeah, I think that Betis are botching most of their chances of squeezing into fourth place, because it seems nobody really wants that position in the standings. And this game against Osasuna, once again, they were overrun by the home side with those opening 15-20 games, which is more or less, I would say, a trademark for Los Rojillos. Once again, Ante Budimir, you know, he seems to be that sort of striker who finds it very difficult to score against many sides, but seems to have some sort of advantages against others. And Betis really didn't know how to stop him in the first 15 minutes. And when they, you know, closed their eyes and opened them again, they were 2-0 down. And it was going to be, you know, a very difficult task to them to overtake. They improved later with that Miranda score, trying to narrow the gap. Moncayola scored before the halftime. And later in the second half, Betis tried, because ultimately they had 21 shots. 6 on target only. They tried. The attempts were there, but not really with the most, you know, the highest level of danger. So Guido Rodriguez's goal at the end of the game with 20 minutes to go really didn't matter, because Osasuna had already the 3 points on the inside the back. So yeah, I think Osasuna are doing their homework perfectly, because obviously their season is hinging on the Copa del Rey final, which, by the way, earlier this week found you know, all of the tickets being sorted out between the different fan bases and Real Madrid and Osasuna. And I think they had a great move with their own fan base by securing tickets for all of their socios, you know, with their season pass holders, which is quite amazing. And at the same time, you know, very gentlemanly from them, you know, very classy by Osasuna, which is a classy club overall. So yeah, they're keeping the squad on their feet most of the time, trying to get them in the tiptoeing, you know, very focused in every single game, because they know that the best way to prepare that final against Real Madrid is focusing in every single game in La Liga. And also, if you see the standings, they are not totally out of the European race. Even though they stumbled quite a lot a couple of months ago, ultimately they are 6 points away from Villarreal, which is Conference League spot. So even though Athletic Club managed to squeeze in the middle because their current run away from home has been amazing for Athletic, I think Osasuna, if they have, you know, if they secure their games at home, four of them pending, and they pick up those 12 points, we're talking about a team with 53, 54, 55. They might have a shot of running for a European spot next season.
Indeed, and should they win the Copa del Rey, they'll have it either way. I just wanted to ask you about Ez Abde, because he was impressive again, especially in the first half. Can he have an impact in the Copa del Rey final and potentially at Camp Nou next season on loan from Barca, of course? Xavi has spoken about him already. Do you think he can play a part in Xavi's side next year?
Well, I think he's definitely one of the highlights of Osasuna's performance overall this year. I think that loaning him this season was a great move on Barca's behalf. I think that maybe in some games, actually, Xavi would have thanked having Abde in his squad to play him. But ultimately, he's enjoying a much higher level of minutes and quantity of minutes than he would in Camp Barça. So ultimately, I think it was a successful move on every front for the player, for the loaning team, and also for Osasuna. And yeah, as you said, I think that he can generate quite a lot of danger and problems to Real Madrid in that Copa del Rey final, even though I'm 100% sure that Ancelotti and his staff will do their homework and have the scouting on point to try to stop him. But at this point, he's quick, he's speedy, he's resourceful, he's fearless most of the time. He takes on absolutely every defender who tries to stop him. And you know, for such a young player, most of the time, the dynamics and the level of confidence that he brings into the table in a specific game is all of it. You know, he might be very talented and have a lot of quality, but if he doesn't have the confidence, it doesn't really matter. But Abde has that. At this point, he's booming with confidence, and if he sustains that level of commitment and of hope towards his team, he might be very, very helpful in that Copa del Rey final.
A very exciting prospect. So Osasuna get past 40 points, which Iago Barrasate always says is their first target. So congratulations to them. As Betis lost then, Real Sociedad had a big chance to open up a gap in fourth spot. They were taking on a Rayo Vallecano side off the back of their Basque derby defeat last weekend. And Rayo, of course, coached by Andoni Iraola, former Athletic legend. This was another intriguing game, Paco. Isi Palazón opened the scoring in the second half, but Lalial hit back straight away through Alexander Sorloth, and then the winner came in the final 10 minutes, and Real Arena was absolutely jumping as Real Sociedad moved 6 points clear of Betis.
Yes, and it was, you know, I didn't expect this sort of game between these two teams. I expected something much more open, you know, much more with much more flourish and much more happiness most of the time, you know, playing the ball around with two teams who really favor that kind of play style. But ultimately, I think it was a bit cagey. It was a very tactical game overall, with most of the stats showing that, you know, ultimately both teams had 7 shots overall, only 1 on target for Real Sociedad, and they scored twice because of that Legion own goal in the second half. And the Rayo Vallecano, 2 shots on target, 1 goal. So ultimately, they were pretty much on point, you know, most of the time, but they didn't have those many chances, both of them. So it was some sort of battle of tactics between Imanol Aguacil and Iraola, and ultimately Real Sociedad came on top because of, you know, those tiny details which eventually turned the tide against Rayo Vallecano. And yeah, as you said, they have been the biggest winner of the weekend, in my view, because it was massive. If you see the rest of the European contenders tumbling here and there, both Real Sociedad and Athletic Club took advantage of the opposition, you know, lowering their level of performance. And yeah, as you said, they have gotten that tiny advantage in the race for European spots, as you said. Champions League place, fourth, 54 points. Six away from Atletico, which isn't really that far, but, you know, Atletico are in form in the last couple of months. But as you said, two games over Betis with 48 points. That might do the trick. If Real Sociedad are able to, you know, secure the games at home, as I said earlier, is the case with Osasuna, we might be talking once again about a Champions League Real Sociedad, which would be amazing for their fan base.
Over a decade since they last played in the competition. Well, you mentioned Athletic. They won again on the road away at Almeria, which isn't the easiest place to go. Nope. But Ernesto Valverde's side is flying. Another goal from the Williams boys, this time Nico and Oscar De Marcos also on the score sheet. And they are right in the Europa League fight. They're just 2 points behind Betis and only one behind Villarreal. So the form they're in, arguably their favourites for that Conference League position, no?
Yes, especially because they are finding, you know, that easiness to win on the road, which is, you know, very strange to find amongst La Liga sides. You know, ultimately, Athletic Club tend to have their most of their strengths with the home games being played in La Catedral, in the new San Mamés Stadium. But they have found, you know, that sort of quality to just go anywhere and do their thing. And as you said, once again, Nico Williams was the player in charge of scoring the first. And especially, I think that this was a much more feisty game. You know, even though maybe the teams in Almeria's case, they are fighting for, you know, to avoid the drop. They are with 30 points, the same as Valencia. They are 17th because of the goal difference. But Almeria are in dire straits, ultimately. They are fighting for their lives. And you didn't really see that during the game because they tried playing their way, but Athletic Club just outmaneuvered them for most of the game, especially during the first half. And actually, you know, Almeria's goal came only in the 92nd minute, I believe. Centelles, a former Valencia youth academy player, he scored for the home side, but they really didn't stand a chance against Athletic Club, who, as you said, I was checking out their current run. They are mighty on the road. They beat Almeria. They did win against Real Sociedad, the Basque derby last week. They beat Espanyol on the road. They beat Valladolid on the road. So since the beginning of March, their form has been quite impressive. And if they continue this trail, I think that they are possibly my top choice for that fifth place.
Yeah, fantastic run from Athletic Club. That's all we've got time for in part one, but after the break, we'll talk about the remaining five matches that took place this weekend, including the big one at Camp Nou between Barca and Atleti. Stay tuned.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Good. Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. On Dia San Jordi, Rory Barlow was in the city of Barcelona. Regrettably, he wasn't at Camp Nou, but he was there to soak up the atmosphere in the city, and he sent us this earlier today.
Rafinha que va a centrar para Ferran. Ferran se la puede preparar, tira, gol.
Mira.
Ferran.
Welcome to the streets of the old town in Barcelona. Just seen Barcelona beat Atletico Madrid 1-0 and probably secure a league title, even though it was already secured. But I think this was a game that assuaged a few doubts about perhaps the final stages of the season. So the Barcelona side that are far from perfect, that they have holes in them, that they do have gaps. But there's one thing that we have to give Xavi credit for. As much as he receives the palos, he receives the blows from the media when Barcelona struggle in Europe, every time they've been asked questions in these big games in La Liga since the first Clásico, they've responded, and often without some of their major names. And for that, I think credit has to be given. Rafinha was put in a performance of constant kind of running and aggression that perhaps is maybe going to go some way to deciding his future at the club. I thought Barcelona attacked very well for 15 to 20 minutes when they had Pedri, De Jong, Busquets, Lewandowski all on the pitch together. I don't think that was a coincidence. And when De Jong went off, I think you saw the impact of that too. So it was a Barcelona performance that wasn't perfect. Atleti got into the Barcelona half pretty easily. They managed to get to the box, but Atleti, it was a highly frustrating performance from their point of view, because in that second half they just didn't find Antoine Griezmann. If you don't find Antoine Griezmann, who is Messi-esque for this side right now, then you do miss out a major part of their attacking force. And that little bit of post, that little bit of sort of calmness just to maybe recycle the ball in the Barcelona half once or twice, or perhaps put your foot on it, wait for that pass to develop, it was never quite there from Atleti from my perspective. So it's a game that ultimately won't cause too many problems for Atleti, because I think the second half of the season has backed up Simeone and the team in general. But a highly frustrating game in which they could have made a real statement and put a kind of marker down for next season going into that kind of summer break. But overall, Barcelona will be happy with the points. I think nobody's under any illusions that the side needs to improve in terms of their kind of academic play, the way that they plan and approach games, and they do make a lot of mistakes, but they need to win the league this season. It looks like they're very much going to, and a win against Atleti at Camp Nou, it's not to be sniffed at, has to be said. And the fact that Pedri is back, the fact that De Jong is back, that's the major news, because when they do have everyone fit, this Barcelona side can compete and they can show up in these big games as they did today.
Well then, Paco, that win for Barca, one step closer to the title, another 1-0 victory, 23 clean sheets for Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. Atleti had a decent game, but ultimately wasn't enough, was it?
Yes, and I was very surprised, you know, when the game was taking place, and ultimately Ferran Torres was the one in charge of scoring the goal, because I think most Barca fans had given up hope with him. And I think it's a pity, because I've seen this guy growing up in, you know, and growing and going through the ranks in Valencia's academy, and scoring has always been one of his main skills. He found it very, very easy when he was a younger player to, you know, get 20, 25, 30 goals at the end of the season, playing in the wing for most of the time or as a second striker. And yeah, this season his form in Barca has been pretty appalling most of the time. But sometimes these players appear, you know, from the blue and really help their team to get a clutch win. And I think this one might be the ultimate blow to Real Madrid's hopes of Barca stumbling and getting nervous about the championship. This was, you know, Barca's really last difficult challenge.
Yes, and of course the grass and the sun were in fine condition today.
Yeah, but it was weird. You know, in Elche's game, Edgar Bardia, the goalkeeper, also complained about, you know, both the sun and the scheduling of those games, 2 o'clock. He might have a point. You know, I'm not a fan of really managers complaining, because they do handle quite a lot of variables, and, you know, the pitch and the weather conditions are one of them, or a couple of them. But if you have a couple of players also complaining on the following days, he might have a point.
Yeah, team at the top and team at the bottom both singing from the same hymn sheet.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for Real Madrid, they beat Celta 2-0 on Saturday evening. That's 4 2-0 wins in a row, Cadiz, Chelsea twice and Celta. They're doing what they need to do to keep Barcelona honest. Marco Asensio yet again on the score sheet. And Eder Militao again with a header. That's 5 in La Liga this season for him, which is a real bonus. But Madrid are just kind of doing what they need to do, getting ready for the cup final, getting ready for Manchester City, aren't they?
Yeah, it might sound disrespectful, but Real Madrid are just going through the motions, you know, in these kind of games, because they do realize that catching up with Barca is going to be nigh impossible, and that the point difference is too big. But they need to put in the work in these kinds of games, you know, because if not, and if they stumble and if they find cracks in their confidence, Manchester City would eventually take advantage of that. So they need to be in tip-top shape before that massive double showdown in the Champions League, and that's why they take this game seriously. And as you said, yeah, once again, Militao with the header. He's unstoppable in those kinds of set pieces, you know, coming from behind. He's powerful. He's, you know, he's like a freight train in some senses. So if you have two choices, you can put yourself in the line of fire, on you can move away. And that's what most defenders do when Militao comes in with all of his, you know, momentum. And yeah, it was a great goal, great header by the defender.
Mm. Yes, well, back-to-back defeats for Celta, a little dip for them, but they have Elche next, so fingers crossed they'll get back to winning ways there. Let's look at the relegation battle now, Paco. We've got 3 more games to cover, and then we'll have a little general chat about that before a quick run through the games that are coming up, because Matchday 31 is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So the 3 games we've got, Mallorca 3, Getafe 1. Getafe led at Son Moix, but Mallorca came from behind to win that one. Valladolid continued their impressive form under Paolo Pezzolano. That's 7 points from 9 under him now. 1-0 win over Girona. And Espanyol Cadiz was goalless on Friday night, which, as you said off air, not really a good result for either side. So let's start with Mallorca then. They're pretty much safe now. They've hit the magic 40 points. Kangin Lee was very good in this game, getting a brace. It was interesting because going into this game, Enes Unal and Vedat Muriqi, the two players who have scored the highest percentage of their team's goals this season, neither of them on the score sheet in this one though, Paco.
Yes, I think that Mallorca might be one of the most fun teams to watch this season, just because of their unpredictability, you know. And yeah, you have Muriqi obviously as their highlight, but Kangin Lee decided that this was going to be one of his highlight games, you know, and he did great. And it doesn't really surprise me, because I've seen him for most of his professional career over here in Valencia, and I always defended that letting him go for the amazing and huge sum of €0 two seasons ago was one of those things which Valencia's management will ultimately take to their grave. You know, I think it's such a humongous, massive mistake. But, you know, leaving Valencia side, Kangin Lee is a great player. He has the trouble of being a bit intermittent with his presence on the pitch. If he gained a bit more reliability, you know, a bit more consistency, he might be, you know, a top European club player. But he's very young, so he has that time, you know, available to learn and to become a better player. And those two goals were huge for Mallorca, being able to win the game, turning things around during the second half. And remember that, you know, Mallorca haven't had their best 2023. More or less like Kangin Lee. Not very consistent with their results, but this win allowed Mallorca to, you know, reach 40 points, call it a day. They are safe already, and great season so far for Mallorca. And in Getafe's case, we did speak of this issue before recording the show. I definitely recommend any football fan to watch Quique Sánchez Flores' press conference post-match. You know, the flash interview after the game when he was absolutely heated up. He was very angry, and I'm going to try to translate it more or less properly.
En el segundo tiempo hemos podido elegir entre mierda o bien, y hemos elegido mierda para el resto de temporada de sufrir.
He did say that they had the chance to choose between shit or choosing welfare for them, and they did choose shit, you know. Hemos tenido la oportunidad de elegir mierda o elegir bien, y hemos elegido mierda. That was the quote, which is actually what happened. You know, his team had the game in their hands, but suddenly Getafe let the game, you know, slip through their fingers. So yeah, he was very, very angry, and I totally understand him, because winning this game for Getafe would have been massive. Even picking up a point in a very, you know, tough ground like Son Mosh would have been great for Getafe, who are now 31 points. Spots over relegation, but only 1 point away, you know, because Almeria and Valencia have 30. So, and Getafe's run isn't really the greatest. I think they picked up 2 points out of the last 12. So, yeah, I totally understand Quique Sánchez Flores, because I believe, firmly believe, that his players didn't obey his orders.
Mm. Well, speaking of managers that are in a bit of trouble, how about one that's had a remarkable effect? Petzolano, another 1-0 win, 4-5 lead over Girona. Monchi, of course, was on loan at Girona last season, I think it was, or the year before. He scored in both fixtures between the sides this season, scoring the winner in this one. Incredible form. And how has he done it, Paco?
I don't really know, because ultimately he's just taken advantage of most of the groundwork being laid by Pacheta. And obviously the signings, the winter signings, Larín, for example, who has been critical for Valladolid, having chances during this second leg of the competition to really fight for survival. They did find the aggressiveness. They almost doubled the number of fouls that Girona made. So I think that Valladolid found their footing when they brought in grittiness and fighting spirit, and added that to those, you know, bright spots of quality which their squad have.
Yeah, from a Uruguayan coach, those qualities are non-negotiable. Let's have a quick look at the race to avoid relegation then. There's only 4 points between 15th and 19th. Cádiz 32, Getafe 31. And then, as you say, Almeria Valencia tied on 30. The dotted line in between them. And then Espanyol 28. Worried about Espanyol. Almeria 2. How do you see it, Paco?
Well, Espanyol picked up their first points in over a month. But at the same time, it's not enough. You know, it was the opening game of the weekend, and both teams were very afraid of losing. Both Espanyol and Cadiz showed that they didn't really have the adventurous spirit of going forward and trying to score and trying to win the game. I think that they have quite a few issues in their squads. They are lacking in several areas, and it showed. You know, 0-0 between Espanyol and Cádiz, more or less expected, because, you know, Cádiz winning would have been a massive blow to Espanyol, but finally Espanyol were able to both pick up a point and leave a clean sheet. And getting a clean sheet for them might be very important, because ultimately, if you really want to have the chances of pulling the team out of the relegation zone, you need to stop the hemorrhage of goals, and that's what the new manager did. Luis Garcia was aiming to try to become fortified at the back, and he did accomplish that goal, but on the expense of not really having the chances to score. So overall issues for Espanyol. Cadiz, you know, doing their own thing, picking up points here and there. 32 points, not enough. They are still, you know, in a very tricky spot, because it really seems that they are over the relegation zone much more than they actually are. I'm going to, you know, put the line over Celta. I think Sevilla, Girona are already safe, but Celta, Valladolid, Cadiz, Getafe, Almeria, Valencia, Espanyol, we're speaking about seven teams in a 8-point difference with eight games to go, which are 24 points. Maybe or might be the tightest rat race at the bottom in the last 10 years?
Well, the rat race continues midweek because we have a round of fixtures coming thick and fast. Here's the fixtures. Girona open it up against Real Madrid on Tuesday. Also, Cadiz, Osasuna, and the big one in the European race, Real Betis against Real Sociedad. If La Real were to win that game, they would be 9 points clear of Betis and surely destined for the Champions League. On Wednesday, Getafe Almeria, massive game at the bottom. Atletico against Mallorca should be quite a fun one. Celta against Elche, again, surely a home win there. Rayo Vallecano taking on Barca as their title quest continues. And then Thursday, Villarreal Espanyol, a really tricky test for Espanyol. Valencia Real Valladolid, as you mentioned, another massive game at the bottom. And then another intriguing looking match at San Mamés Athletic Club against Sevilla.
Yeah.
So a really exciting midweek to come. We will be back. We are running out of time. We will be back on, I think it's Friday, with the recap of that. But Paco, some final words from you as we close off.
I would say that this upcoming match day might be season-defining in three grounds, as you said. I think Betis-Real Sociedad might be absolutely season-defining for both of them. As you said, Real Sociedad have the chance of delivering the definitive blow to the Champions League race. And as you said, the fight at the bottom, the scrap between Getafe-Almeria is going to be epic, I believe. And also Valencia-Valladolid, the levels of drama are going to go through the roof. So at least in those three games, the level of excitement, as I said, for the neutral viewer is going to be great.
Indeed. Well, keep it with La Liga Lowdown. We'll have you across all of the action. Thank you so much for your time and insight, Paco. As ever, it was a pleasure. As we say, keep it La Liga Lowdown, and we'll be back speaking to you again very soon. Adios.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.